And now, on with the show.
This fucking rant.
I mean,
shut up, Craig. I'm trying to fucking rant right now.
Rant over.
Oh, man. That's pretty funny. All right. Well, you know what? Let's get into it because this is Weekend Watch.
Is that like good? That.
You guys like that?
A little rougher
this time?
Weekend Watch. It was no like,
Sunday.
I feel like we're just slowly devolving into like shock jock territory. We need to bring back the soundboards.
Pew, pew. Did that pick up?
It did.
Yeah.
Well done, David. Well done. It's Weekend Watch, you guys. It's a production of the Three Guys One Up Podcast Network. I am a host, Spencer, here with Keith.
Yo.
And David.
Hello.
With that wonderful water drop. I'm so glad it picked that up.
I'm glad, too. This is good to know.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep this handy.
It's the show. It's our show where we talk about movies and shows and what to watch this weekend. Where we're going to do something a little different. It's time for another installment of Franchise Breakdown. So stupid. Oh, man. It's late. You guys, we're all a little tired, and I love it. This is probably the best way to record.
I'm probably deliriously dehydrated.
That is also a possibility. Maybe we should be a little drunk. I'm not, but we could be.
I was going to hit the bong, but then we just hit record, and now unless you want to listen to me cough for 20 minutes.
I mean, maybe. what franchise are we talking about this week? I feel like it kind of goes with this more aggressive intro, because it's the Fast. It's the Furious. It's the Fast and the Furious franchise.
Family.
All about family.
It's like fucking Mr. Rogers on NOS. Mr. Rogers on NOS and meth. That's what this, at least the first one, is.
Yeah, that's fair. David, so Keith, you'd seen some or most of these movies prior to this?
Yeah, heavy dose. I haven't seen this. Probably most of this, like, next episode that we're gonna do, because we gotta split this up. It's fucking 10 movies, right?
There's 10 movies. 10 fucking movies. There are 10 movies, so we're gonna focus on the first five, which you had seen, right?
Yes.
And David, you had not seen any of these?
I have avoided these movies like the fucking plague since they came out.
Even in like middle school?
Not a single one. No.
Like, watching these first couple, it's like, God. These are made for middle school boys.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
for
sure. It was
the girls, the cars, the
story,
the insults,
dialogue.
Dialogue. It was made for middle school. Yeah, I agree with you.
Pretty sure that was when I first saw the first one, because my mom didn't care what I watched. Let's get into it, David. I want to hear just overall, what is, having not seen them, having avoided them for so long, what's your first impression now that you've seen the first five?
This series does a commendable and applaudable job of appealing to the lowest common denominator.
I mean, yeah.
That's
I wanted to argue with you, but it's not.
That's not a compliment.
Oh, man. I feel like we should have David do all of the plot synopses in his own words, since he's just watched them.
Give me three. Give me Tokyo Drift.
Okay.
I have...
You want to do that one? All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into it. We're gonna talk about these. Oh, you want me to go? All right.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into it. The first five Fast and the Furious movies. Let's break them down, because this is Franchise Breakdowns.
Franchise Breakdown, family.
All right, The Fast and the Furious, 2001, directed by Rob Cohen. This is our first introduction to the universe, to the characters, to Dominic Toretto and Brian O'Connor. So, it's also my first introduction to street racing as a thing. I didn't know what the hell that was. I was in middle school.
Yeah, didn't like Need for Speed really get onto the street racing like as this was happening too? I seem to have a very close correlation to watching these movies and then playing the fuck out of Need for Speed and customizing drift cars and shit like that.
Yeah, absolutely. It was all in that same time frame. It was becoming a cultural thing again. So this movie comes out, and it is about a undercover cop, Brian O'Connor, infiltrating. Oh yeah, well, it's Franchise Breakdown. We just spoiled this the whole way through. Okay, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something here. Spoiler alert. Oops. I mean, it does tell you like 30 minutes into the movie.
Yeah, it's not that big of a spoiler.
So we've got Brian O'Connor, an undercover cop, infiltrating the underground world of illegal street racing. Because, get this, somebody in the underground world of illegal street racing is hijacking semis filled with priceless DVD players.
Priceless.
They were TV, VCR, DVD combos. Like oh, that 19-inch TV VCR DVD combo that everybody had in like the early 2000s had in their kitchen.
Uh-huh.
Just truckloads of those.
Those things were worth thousands of dollars each.
Each.
They must have been. old cop Brian here tries to infiltrate Dominic Toretto's crew, his family of street racers, because he's like the king. He's the king of the underground. Super good racer. And, you know, he goes and he's got his car and he enters the race against Dominic for pink slips. And they race and it's fast paced and it's super early 2000s cuts. And man, it's a heart stopping race. But he loses by an inch to Dominic and he has to give him his car. But before that happens, the cops show up and everybody scrambles and he saves Dominic from getting arrested. And then they meet some Asians who are bad, the Asian mafia.
On motorcycles. They don't drive motorcycles, yeah. They don't have like cars, they go motorcycles.
Oh, they got cars too, because they race.
Yeah.
But when they're doing business, all motorcycles.
Motorcycles and Uzis.
So then a bunch of stuff happens and he gets into the inner circle and they become friends, but you know, he's still a cop and they start to wonder where his loyalties lie. And then and then, you know, they go to hijack a semi and Brian's like, oh man, this is illegal, but I'm going to go help them anyways, make sure they don't get hurt. But then somebody gets shot and he has to out himself so he can call in medics to save him. And then a big chase happens and then the movie ends.
Yeah, that's it. Emphasize, cause it just ends. He lets Vin Diesel go. He lets Dom drive off into the fucking sunset in his car that this other car that the agency gave to him. How much did they say the first car was worth? Like 80,000? Like
80 grand.
Yeah.
Tons of aftermarket stuff.
So he just gives him this after he demolishes his gorgeous, what kind of car was that?
Charger.
Yeah. He just like destroys that Charger. Dude's got a broken arm and he drives off into the sunset in this cop car, which they definitely have low jacked. And then it just ends. We don't know what happens to Brian, but we find out very soon because next movie picks up immediately.
Nothing but a cliffhanger there, huh? But wasn't it like 3 years until we got Too Fast, Too Furious? It was a long cliffhanger. I don't know.
It was 2 years.
2 years. Okay.
2 years.
2 years, Too Fast, Too Furious.
So what did we think of the first one? This launched a franchise.
It shouldn't have. I mean, it was really made for middle school boys, and I can go back and the nostalgia hits me, and it's fun. But it is still fun. Like in a really weird way, it keeps your attention. This was my wife Lauren's first watch through of all of these as well, and like, I don't know, every 45 minutes or so, I'd look over and be like, you don't have to do this with me. And she's like, no, I'm fine. We're good.
You're just like whipping yourself with the cat of nine tails. You're like, you sure you want to be doing this?
And yeah, she's watched every single one and ready for more of them. Like, and it all starts with this first one. It really does set a weird tone because the tone shifts later, but it still holds true to this first one most of the time, you know.
And that tone is family.
It's funny that you bring up Lauren family. Because I've been watching them with Laura too. And at the end of the first one, she was like, "Well, that was stupid. Yeah. You want to put on the second one?" Like, all right, yeah. She's into it, man. She's watched every one. We just started the eighth one last night.
Like, the first one ended, and Lauren like looked up from her phone, and she sees credits go, and she's like, "What? Where's the rest? Where's the end of the movie?" Because there is no end of the movie. It is just so.
That's it.
Fucking
Brian
abrupt.
Lets Dominic go instead of being the cop and arresting him.
His job, his entire, like, the reason that he is there in the first place, he lets Dom go.
Yep.
Because
family.
Because they're friends now. And he banged Dom's sister, so.
I mean, family.
Family.
I guess.
Yeah, I forgot to put that in the plot synopsis. He falls in love with Dom's sister.
For like 10 minutes, I guess.
Yeah. So he's like, I love your sister now. I can't do my job.
Look, man, we weren't looking for Oscar-worthy movies in eighth grade, okay? This movie scratched every itch as an eighth grader. I loved it.
I did
want to give a shout-out because they got some classic actors to play the cops. Ted Levine as Sergeant Tanner in this first one. Fucking Buffalo Bill.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then in Too Fast, Too Furious, we'll get to that guy. But yeah, he's another classic cop dude.
Yeah, definitely.
So I don't know. I mean, I feel like overall it's not a bad movie. It's not good by any stretch, but when you go into a Fast and the Furious movie, I hope you're not looking for Shakespearean worthy dialogue.
Oh, you know what you also forgot is DMX.
Did X give it to you?
Like we get so many different rappers coming through these. And he just was there, and then he's not. DMX was like the one that did not last.
Wait, when was DMX in it?
Was he not?
Ja Rule.
It was Ja Rule. You were right. Ja Rule.
I was like, was that DMX song even in
it? I was like, wait a minute.
I was
mixing
wrong.
Up your rappers. I'm
90s, mixing up my not. Rappers. It was Ja Rule. And man, he gave a terrible performance.
It was not great.
He's just a bad actor.
They subbed him out for Ludacris and who's the other guy they got for two?
You're talking about Gibson. Tyrese Gibson?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. Should we crack into two?
Let's do it. Let's move on.
I mean, it just sort of ends there, so why don't we?
We might as well just end our discussion about it.
two, we really do get the worst of it in some of my opinion, but also some of the best. I don't know, something about two.
I love it's this just one so much.
So bad yet so good. We focus in on Brian O'Connor, and he has left Los Angeles. He's gone to Miami to start over
as a fugitive.
He's not a cop. He's heavily into the street racing and everything racing scene in Miami, and he's kind of top dog after you know being Dom's best friend and everything. He knows everything about racing now, so he's just that good running the streets of Miami. But the cops need him. They gots to have him back because he's the best car driver in Miami, in Florida. I don't know.
And
they get him.
That makes you a good cop.
Yep, that's what it is. The FBI needs you. You can drive these cars fast. And they said, we're going to pit you up with this guy. Here's your new partner. And then he says some words to this guy, and the guy says something back, and he's like, this guy can't be my fucking partner. He doesn't know shit about out of my ass. So he goes, I'm not working with you unless I get to name who I'm working with. So he calls his best bro from way back when, and they get into a little bit of a scuffle, you know? They didn't end it on the best of terms.
Now, to be clear, this is not Dom. This is
not Dom.
This is Roman Pierce, played by Tyrese Gibson.
Yes.
This is like childhood friend that we've never even heard about.
Yeah.
This is part of the family that we're just now meeting.
We still got to keep that theme of family going. Family. But Vin Diesel has vacated the family for right now.
So Roman comes in. He's a hothead. He's a hot mouth. He's the new guy on the block, but somehow he's like also a savant car racer. And they've got to take down this mega drug dealer. What's his name even? What's the drug dealer's name? Enrique.
Carter Verone.
Yeah, Carter Verone.
Carter Verone. Enrique was his guy. So they're taking down Carter Verone, and Eva Mendez is there. She's a pretty good actress that is not good in this at all. man, the writing's so bad. I've got to say, because I said this to you, Spencer, and I've just got to put it out there. This movie feels very much like if Mac and Dennis had a budget to make a car film, because the dialogue feels so much like Lethal Weapon 5 from Always Sunny. Like, it's so like the leading.
It's over the top. It's the leading. Yeah.
The leading and explaining what just happened in the last scene. And we just jump scenes and we're in this scene now. So we got to explain that last scene so that everybody knows what scene we're in now.
That is something that does not go away.
It's so bad, but it just like, it keeps you wanting more from these idiots. I don't know. Like it anyway, Paula,
she's also an undercover agent.
She is she's working with them. She's closer to Carter Verone in the circle, but she's kind of the ringleader of these racers that are having to fight for a job, and they get it. And I don't know. There's a lot of twists and turns. Every time you think you got a bead on who's a step ahead, somebody else is a step ahead. Now the cops are a step ahead. Now Carter Verone is a step ahead. Now Paul Walker is a step ahead. It's a twist after twist after twist. You think you get the twist, you didn't get the twist.
They got a race. They got to drive his drug cash. They're trying to set him up to arrest him. It's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing. A lot less about like illegal street racing and a lot more about like just driving cars fast to do illegal things.
And the whole thing was like, oh, if you do this job for us, then we'll clear your record and you'll be a free man again.
For both Brian O'Connor and Roman Pierce, because Roman Pierce he's clearly not a stand-up citizen. He's in and out of jail as well.
Well, and the classic cop offering this deal is James Remar. Dexter's dad,
yeah.
And he just does not trust Brian. He doesn't trust O'Connor at all.
Which, why did you hire him? I like how
he's like, you guys go and drive and prove yourself as drivers. And then the second they do, they're like, oh, he's running. We got to go arrest him.
Oh, that car's running. How
fucking stupid. Oh, man. But I do love this movie. It's over the top. It's it's awful. But it's so fucking enjoyable.
It really is.
Yeah. Plus, you know, a lot of it's the introduction of two characters who come back a lot in this franchise, and Roman Pierce and Tej, played by Ludacris. They will be back. And yeah. I love it. It's so silly. It's so stupid. And I enjoy every minute of it.
Yeah, this one's real bad. This is a real bad movie, but I can't help but love it so much. I don't know why. I really don't.
I love how they got Cole Hauser, like the whitest guy ever, to play a South American drug lord.
Right.
they darkened his skin too much. That was inappropriate.
He was quite tan. Quite tan.
Yeah,
I don't know. What'd you guys think of the second one?
I mean, it's not the best, but it's not the worst. Like it really, I was kind of explaining to Lauren, she did not like these first few, especially because of the lack of continuity. It's like, wait a second, like, why are we only getting these characters in the story? And then, like, once we get into Tokyo Drift, obviously we'll talk about like another shift in how things are going. And I was like, this is all a buildup. This is all, you know, this is Iron Man 1 and Thor 1 Like, we're just building up.
And that's the funny thing about it is, like, there was no plan here. No. Like, Vin Diesel was done after the first one. He didn't want to come back. And then, so they were like, well, we'll make one with Paul Walker, I guess.
Walker was just like, yeah, man, I like to drive fast and jump out of. He just wanted to do all of his own stunts and do these movies because he was all about that shit. Like, you're right. Vin Diesel was done. He didn't even want to come back for the third one.
Yeah.
How come Paul Walker didn't come back for the third one? Because, well,
neither of them really came back for the third one, really.
Yeah, I was going to say one of them came back more so than the other, and it was not, spoiler, the one from the second one.
So it's very funny. It's very weird how they were just like, it's literally just slapdash, figure out the story afterward.
It's like, remember when we talked about that story about Bruce Willis just making like cameo appearances and like rapid fire? It's that, man. It's just okay. Let's move on, I guess. Let's talk about Tokyo Drift. If we're finished with you.
Yeah.
What happens in Tokyo Drift, David?
Well, a piece of Alabama white bread goes from racing straightaways to learning that now cars can carry their momentum through a turn in what is called in Tokyo a drift.
I think they call it that lots of places.
No, it's just Tokyo.
Just Tokyo.
Maybe it spread to more places, but
it was Tokyo first.
Drift that they're doing in Tokyo is a Tokyo drift.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It'd be weird if it was like a Prague drift.
Right.
This kid, what's the stupid ass name? Sean Boswell, he's kind of an unruly child. Mom's tired of his shit, so she ships him off to live with Army Dad, who is absentee clearly because he lives in Japan, Tokyo specifically. So sets them up for some ill-defined tension that never really climaxes and just sort of goes the fuck away in the story. Dad is very authoritarian. And Lucas, sorry, that's the actor's name, Sean. This character is, I described him as Alabama white bread. He is just as three-dimensional as a slice of bread.
They really tried to make him like super suave and cool and relaxed, and it just came over as like kind of brain dead.
They tried to make him, like you said, a suave like country boy, and
they were trying to make him country Vin Diesel.
Yeah, well, it came across as inbred Alabama, and it didn't quite work there, but we also get the introduction of a recurring character that I'm a little confused about, Han. And you guys told me that you're going to explain it all, so I hope you do.
No, don't you worry. They'll feed you, baby boy.
You need to wait for the feature films of the next watch through.
Yeah. Sean gets to Tokyo, and he wants to race again, but he fucks up because he doesn't know how to drive around corners.
He doesn't know how to Tokyo drift.
Yeah. Fucking
everyone there Tokyo drifts, and he doesn't know how because he's not from Tokyo.
I like racing. How all of a sudden, like, this is the only and best way to go around a corner in a car. Like, this automatically makes you faster if you just rip the e-brake and go fast and hit that corner.
If you're trying to race through a parking garage, I imagine this is the best way.
Right. No, definitely this is that. But like when they're racing through the city and stuff and they're still just like drifting around like big curves, it's like you could just turn and go that way. You know?
Probably losing a lot of momentum by pulling the e-brake like that. Anyway, so Han teaches Sean. That rhymed. How to Tokyo drift. He ends up getting the girl because she is attracted to the best drifter. That's pretty much it.
He crashes Han's car in that first race. So Han's like, oh, you have to work for me now to pay off the damages, and I'll teach you how to drift. And then he fights the Yakuza kid and drifts better than him to win the girl.
Yeah. And Han dies.
He makes a bet against the Yakuza boss, the guy's uncle, to clear his name.
Yes. To win respect, right?
Because he had to do that because they got into a big old fight and they were chasing each other through the city and in this giant race and ensuing pursuit, Han hits a car, flips his car, and it explodes and he dies.
Yeah, ball of flame. We see the light leave his eyes.
I really want to emphasize that because he comes back. Spoilers. We watch this dude burn to a crisp on the streets of Tokyo.
All right. Let's talk about it. I like this movie more than most people.
I think it's a hidden gem of the series. I truly do. Yeah, the character is a dim-witted fucking cunt. Like, he's really not that great of a character. But a lot of the content of this, like the goofy, almost anime, like it was very speed racer-ish when they're like racing against each other and like the villains like looking over like,
yeah,
it's just like goofy moments about this that it's just like, man, I kind of like this movie. Lauren hated it. Hated this movie. She's like, this has nothing to do with fucking anything about anything. Like, why are we here? Why are we in Tokyo? This is dumb.
And yeah, that's what everyone thinks right until the very end when we get a little cameo from Dom.
Like
talking to Sean and he's like, yeah, I knew Han.
Han was family.
I didn't know Han was into America. Muscle.
He was when he rolled with me.
And then you're like, what? He used to roll with Dom?
That's a
revelation.
The way they say American Muscle is a little homoerotic.
I think it's
the best part of this movie.
Okay.
I think that's like fully on purpose.
Are you bashing that? It's Pride Month. Don't do that.
I'm just pointing it out. If it's Pride Month, we need to emphasize it.
Be like, there's nothing wrong with a little homoeroticism in our car racing films.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to get hard to some American Muscle. I mean, these are the movies for you.
I did forget another cameo. We got to some Zachary Taylor Thomas action right there at the beginning.
Oh, that's right.
Zachary type Ryan.
Yeah, well, he's clearly known by his TV name much better. from Home Improvement, bro. I watched the shit out of that show when I was a kid.
We all did.
Eldest child in Home Improvement. He was a real tool bag in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Dooch. Anyway, I don't think there's much else that I missed there.
Yeah, that was a pretty good synopsis. What did you think overall, David?
I think this one was a little bit more visually appealing. I liked, like Keith was saying, it had an almost anime quality to it in the way that they shot the cinematography in a couple of parts. It was good overall in the context of this very bad franchise.
Fair enough. It does cross over into that so bad it's good territory, and I like that.
That's the whole franchise. These are bad movies, and they're good for reasons that are beyond articulation.
Yeah, it's hard to put into words. It really is.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I loved it. It's bad, but I loved it. I'm going to say that after every one of these. So get used to that.
Watch the short movies. When I looked up like the order to watch the Fast Mute movies in, there's
there were one-offs. Yeah,
there's like little like under 10 minute short movies with Paul Walker and stuff.
Yeah, I saw one of them, the one in between one and two. I've watched, but that was years ago.
I probably did when I was in middle school.
Okay, I'm not going to watch those.
No, that's fine, don't worry. That's fine.
That's good.
Well, let's move on to number four in the series. This one is called Fast and Furious.
Yep.
I don't know why. They just removed the "thes" and that's movie number four. So this movie takes place back in Los Angeles.
Hang on, I'm sorry. Now I'm trying to imagine what the movie would be like if they removed the word "the" from the entire script.
Oh.
And like they did the whole movie without using the word "the". And
Schwanathan?
Oh man, crazy billionaire money. We need to remake Fast and Furious and do that. Remove the word "the". Make it a word for word complete shot for shot remake, just remove the word the from the entire script.
Who do we get to play Paul Walker?
Fuck it, let's dig him up.
Just a Weekend of Bernie situation. Oh man,
no lines for Paul.
Fair enough. Right, there'll just be some Jim Henson looking ass. Oh man, all right, he's Fast and Furious. Car,
like slumped over the wheel.
It's like a stick down the back of his shirt to keep him upright.
Let's make it really ridiculous and combine our two ideas and just have like
still have no body,
marionette a dead body, but slap a green screen like head over it and deep fake Paul Walker's face onto the clearly marionetted dead body.
It's just like slumped and it takes turns and just like slowly.
All right. Fast and Furious. We're back in Los Angeles. Brian O'Connor. Well, guys, he has been forgiven his crimes. So he's now an FBI agent, which makes zero sense.
Because after destroying hundreds of thousands of dollars of federal and local police property, they give you promotions.
To a completely different agency.
He let Dom Toretto go. Like, he just let him go.
Yeah, but he got a pardon for that or whatever.
And then went to Miami and broke a whole bunch of laws.
but he was breaking those laws for the police in Miami.
It's best not to it's best not to think about this stuff too hard. So he's an FBI agent again. Dom is still on the run. The movie opens with Dom and his crew, Letty, Leo, and Santos, and Han running or hijacking a truck in the Dominican Republic. That's right, I said Han. Han's alive right now. Turns
completely out ridiculous.
Turns out, David, that Tokyo Drift was set in the future.
Yeah,
well,
didn't see that coming.
So this is a—I don't want to call it a flashback because they were just like, "Nope, Tokyo Drift's in the future now," which makes zero sense considering the technology they were using in Tokyo Drift is
the technology
incredibly outdated.
Throughout this entire series is fantasy. It is all fantasy technology. Like, some of what they're saying about cars is kind of true, but most of what they're doing on like the computers and stuff, like, all fantasy. Everything. All
the first, I'm sorry. I gotta go back to the first one where he's like describing how they wired the GPS into the electric system, and he's like, this thing spidered into the this and this and then blah blah blah, and it's like, how many fucking wires do they have running through this fucking car?
Are what about like me? The electromagnetic spike gun they're shooting at the cars in too fast
to disable them? Yeah, ridiculous.
It's not how EMPs work, but cool.
Anyway, this movie, so Dominic, you know, they're down there, they pull this job, turns out there's a lot of heat on them, so they got to split up. So Han says, I think I might go to Tokyo, see what's going on there, and then you don't see him for the rest of the movie. So that's a bit of a thing. So they all split up, including Dom and Letty, his girlfriend, his partner, his ride or die. She has to leave him because the heat's all on him, right? So then we flash forward to L.A., and we hear that Letty's been killed, and we don't know why. So Vin Diesel has to go back to L.A. to try to solve the mystery, the crime of who killed Letty. Guess what? Brian O'Connor, FBI agent, he's trying to solve that crime, too.
He's on the case.
So it turns out the trail leads to some Mexican drug cartel guy who is using her to run drugs over the border in her fast cars. So, Brian and Dom, and they're both trying to figure it out, and they butt heads a bunch, and then they both somehow get to go undercover in this drug cartel by winning a race, and then they gotta find out a way to get the head of the cartel who killed Letty and bring him to justice, and guess what, they work together again. And then at the end of the movie, you guys, so yeah, they solve it, they kill the drug guy, they capture the drug kingpin and bring him to justice. And they're like, oh, we're going to try to get Dom's crimes erased just like mine were, so because he helped the government so much. And then at the end, the judge is like, nah, you're going to jail for 30 years or whatever. And they're like, oh, the system has failed. And then at the end, there's the prison bus driving down the highway. And all of a sudden, a bunch of cars, fast cars, start pulling up behind him. And you're like, oh, they're going to break him out. Brian's a criminal again.
Double-crossed again. Bamboozled again. You got us, Brian.
He's done this so many times. He's done this so many. How has nobody been like, this guy's eventually going to turn on us?
If we're going to send him to meet with Dom Toretto, they're going to become friends, and he's going to bail on us and fuck us over.
This agent, this officer, is entirely unreliable. He treats expensive equipment just flagrantly, and it very often turns double agent on us.
Oh, man. It's so silly.
This is a movie this that is we the, get a major shift.
Yeah, this is where the tone starts shifting from semi-realistic. I don't want to call it realistic, but the first movie, they're hijacking DVD players. And now all of a sudden, this series has transformed into a whodunit police procedural.
Yeah.
And this mystery, it's a crime thriller now. Yeah, there's still some racing in this one, a fair amount of racing in this one, but the focus becomes ancillary. The racing becomes a side plot.
Well, that's because we're in this
detective. Yeah,
that's because badass Dwayne Johnson is on the scene and
not yet.
No,
he's not in this one.
Not in Fast.
Oh, you're right. Fucking. Yeah, you're right. I'm getting them confused.
So this is the one.
It all just blended together for me.
Yeah. So this is the one that reunites Paul Walker and Vin Diesel. And we go from there. This is the turning point where the series really becomes completely different.
But still getting back to the roots of these characters and the family and the story, you know,
If these movies were the Beatles, this one would be Revolver.
Yeah, this is Revolver for sure. This is the definite shift in tone, but it's still the group. We're still listening to the same old guys, you know?
Yeah, this one is probably my least favorite of these first five.
I agree. It's kind of
boring, honestly. Like, there's not near as much. It's at that point where there's not really any nostalgia for it, but it's also not doing the ridiculous stunts and the most outlandish shit you could possibly think of, and making it more entertaining. Like, it's grounded, but in a bad way.
They weren't injecting high octane into my veins the whole time. And that it just, if, unless you're doing that, it doesn't work.
But that's because they were using nitromethane.
Ah, good point.
You are correct.
Sick reference, bro.
Yeah.
So we do get a good introduction, new character who will also be recurring in Giselle, played by Gal Gadot. She comes back. That's fun. We get the return of Mia Toretto, Dom's sister. And
more lovey-dovey between Mia and Brian.
Yes, exactly. It turns out their romance never died.
Oh, no. I just went to Miami.
The flame never went out.
Eva Mendes, who?
Exactly.
That time in Miami stays in Miami.
Yeah.
So, David,
I mean, he was a cop at that point. Not a cop. Yeah.
She was a cop.
Eva Mendes was a cop. Yeah.
Yeah.
David, I understand why you fell asleep at the end of this one.
Well, I understand. It doesn't matter that I fell asleep. The only part that I missed is the beginning of the next fucking movie.
That's fair.
You are correct. So let's get into it, shall we?
Yeah,
Fast Five.
Tell me about Fast Five. At least this one has a numeral in it.
Yeah, it makes a little more sense to name this one what they named it. Fast Five is a good name for this movie.
This reads on the cover is a big F and Ast Ive.
Yeah,
yeah,
I like it. That's good play. That's good visual wordplay.
It is.
Okay,
it tickles my jimmies a bit. So Fast Five is the Avengers of the group. We're putting a team together. Families coming together. Family assemble. So we have ex-cop Brian O'Connor and Mia Toretto now on the lam. They at the very beginning, like David was saying, it's the very end of Fast and Furious. We're breaking Dom out. And we're successful in that, and now we have to evade authorities. So they're
yet again.
Yep. Ditching the states, going down to Rio. Why the fuck not, right?
When you're on the run, you go to Rio.
So we get to meet up with another old character here in Rio immediately. Vince comes back, family.
From the first one. He almost died in the first one.
Yeah. Big tool bag Vince comes in. It's kind of the same exact conversation. Like, he and Vin Diesel just have the same two conversations every time they interact in all of these movies. It's always the same. It's like six words, and it's the same conversation every time. So we get him back. We get his family. We're hanging out with them. They got to do one big job to win their fucking freedom. They got to bring down Reyes, this kingpin of Rio de Janeiro. He owns everything. He owns the cops. He owns you. You cannot get away from this man. So they're going to take him down. They're going to win their freedom back. And to do that, they need a team. So they assemble the family. They bring everyone back. We got Roman back. We got Tej back. We got Vince back. We got, who else was there? Hans back. Giselle's in there.
Yeah.
We got everybody.
Leo and Santos from the beginning of the fourth movie.
Right. We are supposed to just have in the family. We don't really even know them that well at this point. We get to know them a little better through this movie, but they got 5 minutes of screen time in the fourth movie. It was very little. You don't know anything about their character.
They didn't get a whole lot in this one either.
No, but they're fun little slapstick guys off on the side, right? Yeah. And but we also get
there's
the
a
introduction.
Wrinkle.
We get the introduction of a brand new character who's here to thwart all of these plans. And that's Agent Hobbs, played by Dwayne Johnson. Big thing, big wrench getting thrown in there. Big Dwayne Johnson size wrench getting thrown into the plan.
Yeah, he's hunting the crew because they're fugitives, and he's there to catch them.
And he's this ruthless, brutal agent that don't give a fuck about nobody. Parkour master, could drive with the best of them. And he also wants to bring Reyes down, turns out, because Reyes is a big bad guy. So after a whole bunch of rigmarole and rolling around between Dom and Hobbs, they end up on the same side, coming to take down Reyes. And lo and behold, we do it. We fuck that guy up. Fuck you, Reyes.
So my confusion continues. Where is this chronologically in relation to Tokyo Drift?
Tokyo Drift has still not happened.
But in the one, he left to go to Tokyo.
Yeah, man. And then he was in Tokyo doing his thing, and they were like, hey, we need you in Rio. So that he didn't just get to Tokyo and then immediately drift to his death.
So this happens in the timeline.
Okay. I
gotcha. So this is still before the events of Tokyo Drift.
Okay. So Han's still alive because Tokyo Drift hasn't happened yet. That was like the future site set, right?
Correct. So yes, this Tokyo Drift was years in the future. So Han is still alive. He's coming back to help him. This movie is a heist movie. It is. This is not a street racing movie. It is a 100% heist movie, and it is fucking wacky fun. It's everything I want from a heist movie. We could have talked about Fast Five on Heist Week for this show because that is what it is.
This is probably the strongest out of this first half of the series because it is it's the Avengers. It gives you that feeling of we were doing something with those early movies, even though they really weren't. They forced it into place.
They had no idea what they were doing, and it wound up working.
And they're gonna steal $100 million from the biggest crime lord in Brazil, and it's that in your face and fast and furious the whole time.
This is the Saints Row 2 of the series. This is when they look back and they're like, we can't be whatever the fuck we were trying to be in that first shit. Let's just go fucking crazy and have dildo swords.
Yeah, they're jumping the shark hard and in a fun way, you know. The the fantasy technology is back in full force. You know, they're scanning their faces. They're driving 130 miles an hour down a road and they freeze a still of them. Dwayne Johnson yells out, "Enhance!" And it goes, and it zooms in on their faces that are covered except for a strip of eyeballs. And he goes, "Get facial recognition on this." And it goes, and 20 seconds later, it's Dom.
They have IDs of all of them.
It's Dom and Brian sitting in the front seat, and they have all their cohorts also like connected to them somehow. Like, the fantasy technology is very real in this one, and it's fun. It's funny. It's hilarious.
I just love how they were so bold in the shift. Like, we're not about any of the first movies anymore. Now we're transferring into this action, thrilling heist, like completely different style of movie while still like doing the little stuff to be like, yeah, we know where we're coming from, like bringing Vince back and callbacks to the other movies and stuff like that. And it's over the top, but in a way that lets you know it's still definitely this franchise. And it's fun. It's just fucking fun.
It is. And it there's no lack of that Mac and Dennis back and forth dialogue either. You know, when they're standing on the balcony and they're like talking about building this team, and it's like, we need this. And he's like, oh, I got that guy. And it shows Tej getting on a plane. And it's like, well, we need one of these. And he's like, well, I know that guy. And it's another person getting on a plane. And at the end of it, he's like, yeah, we'll need two badass drivers that don't give a shit about fucking anything. And it's like, well, you know, you got that, Dom. Like, it's the most ridiculous dialogue ever. And I love it so much.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this is the best one. I think overall, this is the best one of the first five for sure. This is my favorite. David, what was your favorite of the first five?
I have to reluctantly say Tokyo Drift because of the flashiness, because of the
style,
the hateful protagonist. Like, he's so bland and crappy that he is amusing.
He's
as he's bumblefucking his way through this movie. It's just like, you're an idiot. You are
a comic book villain dipshit. That like is, he's not even like outsmarting anybody. He's not better than anybody. He's just a good driver. Like, that's all he's got.
He's so dumb. He's so worthless. And he's the hero of the story.
Keith, are you going with five also?
I'm going with five, man. Like, it was just the strongest of the series. They bring it all in when you didn't think they could, and they did it anyway. You know, forcing forcing Han into existence is like one of the best things they did. Like, I know, love, right? His because character. Han is
such a great character.
Yeah, the little like love thing they have between him and Gal Gadot. Like, what a fucking beautiful couple too, man.
Right. Ridiculous. What was the worst? I think it's four.
Yeah, I gotta say four too. I don't know. The first one's just real bad, man. But
I want to say four.
Yeah, I think just because four just falls lower. You're right.
It's boring. And the first one at least has the draw. That is the allure of this franchise, is that it's like fast cars and explosions and lots of really interesting editing, and it's flashy.
I can't pull out my phone and like get lost in an article because there's something happening on the screen that it's like, oh my God, I gotta watch how fucking silly this shit
and
is.
And like, yeah, it's silly and it's over the top. And it's campy in its own right, but it like I said, it's good for a reason that is completely inarticulable. So and four just doesn't quite hit that bar.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, 100%. It's very boring. Oh, I forgot five. It's our Avengers movie, right? Yeah. And it is the first time we get a post-credit scene. Boys.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Post-credit spoilers coming up. She ain't dead. What's her name?
Letty.
Letty. Letty ain't dead.
Oh.
Post-credit reveal. Turns out Letty might be alive.
Oh, shit.
Fucking post-credit cliffhanger. Fucking Avengers. This whole movie was the Avengers.
I mean, that's what I love about them is I had the thought that it feels like it's cinematic cotton candy to me, where it looks cool, it tastes great. There's not a lot of substance. You're not eating a meal, but you know, it. You eat it, it disappears. It was fun, and now you
spent $8 on it. Yeah,
yeah, and it was worth it.
Yeah,
it was worth every second. Cinematic cotton candy. That's my new term.
Cinematic cotton candies. Okay, so if you strung Pop Rocks into cotton candy, that's what this is.
I like that.
Yeah,
just little pops every now and then.
Yeah,
yeah, right on. Yeah. Well, that's the first five movies in the Fast and Furious series. We're going to be talking about the rest of them next week. That's 6, 7, 8, the spinoff movie, and 9. We have news also, guys, that number 10 is in the works. I think they're filming it already. It should be next year or the year after.
Goddamn.
Super exciting. They say that's going to be the last one, but I'm pretty sure they said that after every single movie.
I think, like, they never expected to get this far.
Yeah, definitely.
Vin Diesel tried so hard to get Triple X to be a thing, and this is, and he's still making Fast and Furious movies.
This is what stuck. Oh man! All right. Well, we're approaching an hour here, so I'm cutting this off. Thank you, everyone, for listening to our ridiculous franchise breakdown. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter. Join our Discord and talk to us about what you think of the Fast and Furious franchise. Check out our website, 3guys1up.com, and our link to our Patreon, where you can join as a patron for $5 a month and help us support this show. We will be back next week with more Franchise Breakdown.